to start with one key overview to make sure we're all on the same page, which is the five things everyone needs to know about climate change. It's warming, it's us, we're sure, it's bad, and we can fix it. There's really overwhelming scientific agreement and no question whatsoever about those first three points, so I'm not going to spend more time on them. I'm going to spend more time on it's bad and we can fix it. I think we really need to understand how devastatingly bad climate change is for ourselves, not just for future generations, but for those of us alive now. I am seeing some gray hair looking around the room here, but even so, most of us will be alive to see if we make it to 1.5 or 2 degrees stabilization or not. This is really the last chance that we have to make this happen. And it's really urgent that we do it now. We know from the IPCC report, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that impacts are much worse and much more devastating if we don't make the 1.5 degree goal. We fail to stabilize the climate in time and have warming of 2 degrees or more. So we really urgently need to reduce emissions. We need to reduce emissions about 7.6% per year. Those are the latest numbers from UNEP if we're going to make the 1.5 degree goal. So globally, we've got to cut emissions about in half by 2030. For rich countries that have historical and continue to have high emissions, we have to go faster. So we have a really big challenge ahead of us, and we really need to be focusing all of our humanity and all of our efforts on making society compatible with a safe climate, because the stakes are just too high. So we really need to be thinking about taking not only climate, but the sustainable development goals into account. So that means we have to have principles of equity, as Rob mentioned. We need to be thinking also about our use of land and other natural resources, because biodiversity and nature also need room to thrive. So we really need to kind of refocus our efforts on what constitutes a good life for everyone within the biophysical limits that the planet can afford and sustain. Rob showed that image of the bucket filling up with our carbon budget, and you see that we're really almost out of time. So what we need to do to stabilize the climate is actually stop emitting carbon to the atmosphere entirely. Some of the carbon we emit stays in the climate for thousands of years. Some of it will be there for millennia. So essentially, in order to stabilize the climate, those emissions have to go to zero. Not just stabilize, but actually go to zero. That means all those graphs that Rob showed where we have a lot of coal, oil, and gas, which are still, except for coal, still increasing. Those need to not only stop increasing and level out, but those need to go away entirely and be replaced by clean energy. If they don't, we're still going to be causing climate warming. So basically, to make that happen, we need to go from a system that we have right now, which is causing climate harm, and replace that with a system that is safe for the climate. That's in terms of energy, where we need to replace fossil fuels with clean energy sources. Leah Stokes from the University of California, Santa Barbara points out, we don't just need 100% clean energy, we need 200%. That's because we have to not just build up the clean energy sources, but actually electrify everything to run on them, including transport, which right now is not running on electricity. So that's a big challenge. We also need to talk about agriculture, because that's about a quarter of total warming. So the way that people use land today is also driving the climate problem. We're degrading and destabilizing ecosystems. It's very risky to do that, because we're risking actually the stability of the climate as well as the ability for life on Earth to continue to thrive, because we need nature to be healthy in order to have a stable climate. We also probably should care about whether we have nature to share the planet with as well. But from a purely practical perspective, we need nature to be in good shape. So I'm hoping that we can use this opportunity that we have now to shift from a system where we're investing actually a lot of money in doing harm through harmful subsidies to fossil fuels and to unsustainable intensive and industrial agriculture, and shift that money and any others that we're thinking about and policymakers are working with now towards a system that is sustainable and gives people good jobs and is compatible with a safe climate. At the moment, about more than 6% of global GDP, $5.2 trillion, is used to subsidize fossil fuels to make them cheaper. And we know from a study from Steve Davis's group last year, we actually have to stop building all infrastructure that runs on fossil fuels. So those are pipelines, energy plants, everything basically that's running on coal, oil, and gas. Does not make sense, and it is incompatible with our remaining carbon budget for a stabilized climate at 1.5. We can't keep building or investing in any of those things. We need to switch that money into safe climate sources. And not only that, we actually need to shut down ahead of planned in time some of these most polluting infrastructures, so things like coal-fired power plants. So this, as we're thinking about economic recovery, we need to have these principles in mind that we have to be shifting the money to do the most good. I'll just echo what Rob said, and there's very strong agreement. We need this to be a fair and just transition. Jobs are really important. So we need to have paying and sustainable jobs at the heart of this transition, focusing on health and well-being for people and for communities and for nature really needs to guide our thinking on this. We know that we can't go back to business as usual because business as usual is headed for catastrophic and very, very dangerous climate change. So we've got to make a change, and there are a lot of ways we can do that. First, I've talked a little bit about the incentives, changing the incentive structure. We can't keep investing in fossil fuels or other unsustainable technologies. Regulations and standards both play a really important role. Those have historically played a big role in the limited progress we've made to date in actually reducing emissions. So efficiency standards, for example. A new study that just came out led by Charlie Wilson at the University of East Anglia showed that one of the most important things in designing economic recovery from the current pandemic is small scale transition. So in other words, neighborhood based or locally based incentives for municipalities, training armies, low carbon armies of workers with good jobs to retrofit housing and make it more efficient, smart meters and other things of other techniques for using local and decentralized forms of energy and taking advantage of the jobs and the learning that that creates. I think another really important point we need to be focused on, Rob mentioned transport. One of the things that struck me from the study that he was a part of there, the biggest overall reduction in total emissions came from reduced ground transport. So basically, everywhere that we can, we should be looking for ways to reduce cars. The cars are a major source of emissions, and we really need to be thinking and planning for how can we make it attractive and possible to make cities especially as car-free as possible. So how can we have cities that are built for and around people rather than cars? We've seen a lot of really interesting innovation and experiments in cities around the world that where people are taking back streets and really appreciating being able to get exercise, move freely, enjoy the better air quality by foot or by bicycle. And those are really healthy and effective ways of both reducing emissions and having other health benefits. There are some areas where industries that are not on track to meet climate goals and do not have a plan to reduce their emissions, for example, aviation. And those industries need to be making a serious effort to reduce emissions, and that means lowering demand, actually. Not planning to continue to grow, but planning for ways to bring their use in line with a really limited carbon budget remaining that we have. So I just want to close by saying I think we have a really historic opportunity here to better align what's good for the planet and what's good for people, and I hope that we take it. Thank you.